Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Welcome back into the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's here on 104.5 The Zone. Every Wednesday, we talk with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. He joins us to break down the film of the previous week, also look ahead. And Greg Cosell, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty, call 833-THG-NASH or visit Huffaker online at THGTN.com. Greg, welcome in. How are you?
Chad, what's happening?
So, Greg, I want to start with obviously a lot of disappointment from Titans fans here, the way that game ended on Sunday. But I want to talk specifically about what the Titans are doing to combat the loss of Taylor Lewan. We've seen a couple different routes to do that. The game plan against Cleveland was one thing. What did you see in this game against Indianapolis of what the Titans were doing chipping-wise and how they're trying to compensate for what is a big loss with their left tackle?
Well, I think they're also trying to compensate with the nature of their passing game. It's very condensed. They're trying to get the ball out quick. I mean, when you look at throws that are either 12 or 15 yards from the line of scrimmage in the air, Marcus Mariota is way down the list of NFL quarterbacks. So the passing game, my guess is somewhat condensed by design because they probably feel that they can't protect. And then you get caught up in that game of minimizing and eliminating eligible receivers. If you want to keep a back in or a tight end in or even a chip, limits what you can do with your route concept. So you get stuck a little bit. You get stuck with the kind of pass game you can have. Defenses start to know that, and they're not really concerned about the big ball. They're not even concerned about, you know, the deeper intermediate routes, which are sort of part of every offense in the league.
I've been dying for them to modernize to some degree and play more three wide, and they have. And Mariota's been bad in it, 66.6 passer rating as
right,
compared to 149.3, too tight.
Well, again, you know, normally, when you go three wide, the route concepts are different than if you're in too tight. When obviously in three wide, your pass protection is different because the field is more spread. Mariota has certainly not shown the consistent ability to make those intermediate throws. So you end up with a lot of shorter throws. And it's, you know, at some point, you know, the one thing about this league, and offensive coaches will tell you this, and defensive coaches will tell you this, offensive coaches are trying to get big explosive pass plays, usually deemed as 20-plus yards. Defensive coaches are trying to prevent those kinds of explosive plays. The Titans don't get many of those plays unless it's highly schemed. You can do that every once in a while. They did a phenomenal job of that versus Cleveland. But you also can't count on a throwback screen going 75 yards for a touchdown. You can't count on a quick slant going 45-plus yards. And you also can't count on every time you call a shot play that it's effective. When those things do work, your offense will look very, very good. And those are highly schemed and really well-designed plays. But that can't be the foundation of your offense on a week-to-week basis.
And, Greg, going with this concept that you're talking about with the Titans, quick, condensed passing game, getting rid of the ball quickly, are you surprised that Adam Humphries has not been a factor at all catching the ball with a quick, condensed offense where you're trying to get rid of it quickly?
I don't know if I'm surprised. You know, I don't know if he's ever been a true big volume guy. I think, you know, ultimately he's a slot guy, and I think he can fit a certain role when you have a more complete passing game. But I don't think Adam Humphries is by any stretch of the imagination a foundation of your pass game. You know, he's in the Cole Beasley. You know, he's that kind of player. They're effective players, but I don't think that, you know, if we were talking about Adam Humphries as being the main guy in their passing game wouldn't be very good.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films with our weekly visit. Let's dig into Marcus Mariota's effort here, which was very disappointing from our perspective.
Spotty at best, PK.
His vision just seemed, he said he was trying to find a play downfield, clearly against this zone. He also said, you know, they're making you throw it underneath and rallying to the ball, which is what they did very effectively. Then he seemed allergic to checkdowns while he held the ball and held the ball and held the ball.
Well, look, you know, I think the thing with this offense is it's not going to be a big play offense just by design. Obviously, they hit some against the Browns. We talked about those. But it's not going to be that way on a regular basis. So you have to hit the throws that are there for you, and particularly the ones that are schemed. You can start with the first play of the game, guys. I mean, that was a well-schemed play with Walker wide open on the pop pass off the jet action and the power play action. That's the first play of the game. That play was decided on Wednesday or Thursday. Walker's wide open. There's no one in front of him. Now, he's not going to score a touchdown, but it could be a 25, 30-yard play to start the game. And Mariota throws it behind him. You know, those kinds of plays you can't miss. So what happens is when you miss those, so much becomes magnified. You've got to hit the plays that are indeed there. You know, even late in the game, I mean, I remember a play with, I think it was, maybe 4.5 minutes to go, and he puts the ball too far out in front of A.J. Brown on a slant, a routine throw. And, you know, those are throws you have to make. You could even go, I'm not saying they would have won the game, but you could even go on the 4th-and-2 to end it. You know, it was a quick slant. He threw it way too high. You know, these are throws that are just routine NFL throws. You got to make these throws. I mean, the reality is that they've had no intermediate or vertical passing game for the most part.
What do you make of the checkdowns? The plays are done. He's talked so much about the journey, knowing when the journey's over.
Right.
He's going into his fifth year. He's still talking about learning when to throw it away. And he's got Deion Lewis or Adam Humphries or Delanie Walker out in the flats who are going to be able to at least get back to the line of scrimmage, you would think, gain a couple of yards. And they don't even seem to be in his field of vision.
Checkdowns happen for any number of reasons. Okay, checkdowns can occur because truly your receivers on intermediate and deeper routes are covered. Checkdowns can occur because the quarterback doesn't get a clear picture of what he's looking at. Checkdowns can occur because the quarterback is under pressure. Checkdowns can occur because the quarterback perceives pressure, even if pressure is not really there. So checkdowns can occur for any number of reasons, and a lot of times you have to ask the quarterback why he checked it down. You know, plays are not called to check it down. Their checkdown is really the last thing you want to do. So, you know, there's many reasons a quarterback checks it down. He'd be the only one who could tell you why he does it. I mean, my sense is that he's
not
still at times.
That's the concern, not doing it.
Right. My guess is, just from watching tape of him and seeing every single drop back, I don't think he's a turn-it-loose thrower. I don't think he gets as clear a picture as he should on a regular, consistent basis.
What that Indy zone stuff so effective against him? I know other teams don't do it as much, so you can't just say, hey, isn't this a blueprint that other teams should follow? Are there ingredients here that Jacksonville and other teams can look at and say, we've got to take some elements here that gave him such problems and try to apply them?
PK, look, Marcus Mariota has played a lot of games in this league. This is not the first time that anybody's going to look at what someone did. There's a book on Marcus Mariota and what he is and what he isn't. The Colts didn't all of a sudden pull something out of the sky and go, oh, wow, this is the way we're going to stop this offense or this quarterback. You know, people know what Marcus is, and teams incorporate what they do. They're playing Jacksonville tomorrow night. Jacksonville is a team that plays a lot of cover four. They play a lot of split safety. They'll mix in some man-to-man coverage. People probably think they're a big man team because of Jalen Ramsey, but they're not a big man-to-man team. Ramsey might travel with someone, but he's not playing man that often, pure man. So, you know, people know what Marcus is. There's no mystery here at this point in his career. He's played enough games where we're not waiting to see what he is.
Greg, when you watch Adoree Jackson in that Titans secondary, are you seeing more recurrences of problems he's had throughout his career, or has something changed with him when you watch what's happening to him week to week?
You know, Chad, it's tough for me to answer that because I'm not studying him individually on every single play. I mean, what I can say about their defense this week is their defense played well enough to win this game. You know, it was the defense played really well. For the most part, they took away the shot plays that were called by the Colts when they tried to get the ball down the field over the top. They took those away. With the exception of really one or a couple of runs, and obviously the 55-yarder was a big run. It was really a well-designed, well-executed duo concept. They did a good job in the run game. You know, I think that Mac, what did he have about 50 yards on 20 carries? So they did a good job in the run game. Their defense played well enough to win this game.
Wither Corey Davis. A lot of film review that's out there, not at your level, seems to find evidence that he is somewhat consistently available for Mariota and not being found.
Well, this is not a consistent pass game. Okay, the receivers, the wide receivers on a week-to-week basis are not going to catch a lot of balls the way this pass game is presently executed. Okay, the one that he did catch was, again, a designed play. It was the first possession of the third quarter. They decided that they were going to come out with this play. It was a shotgun outside zone run action, and Mariota exaggerated the mesh point, and he influenced the linebackers, and then he hit Davis on kind of a bang eight. It was kind of an elongated slant away from the run action. I mean, that's a schemed, designed play. This offense does not make a lot of plays in the pass game where the quarterback just drops back, the receivers run routes, and the ball gets thrown. They don't do a lot of that. There's no real drop back pass game to this offense at this point in time. I'm sure they're working on it, but right now you're not going to see receivers, wide receivers, on a weekly basis, PK, put up numbers.
What about Jack Conklin? Opener against Olivier Vernon, very good. Different results against Houston.
Not terrible. I mean, although I will say this, he's changed his stance. Have you noticed that, PK?
No, tell us about that.
His whole stance is different when he's in a two-point stance. Last year, he was very low to the ground, okay? He was really a bender pre-snap, even in a two-point stance where his hand is not on the ground. This year, he's much more upright, which I think is a really positive change. We'll see how it plays out. Because what this allows him to be is he used to get in recovery mode really fast because he'd get beat very early in the down. Now his balance is better. His base is better. I think he can recover more easily if he loses early on. So we'll see how the season progresses. But he totally reworked his stance when he's in a two-point stance.
Greg, how big is the gap between Roger Saffold, the run blocker, versus Roger Saffold, the pass protector?
Well, he had two really bad snaps this week. I think they both came in the first half against Autry, where he gave up sacks. So sacks, when they're given up in one-on-one pass protection, really stand out. He's definitely a better run blocker than he is a pass protector. That could be part of the equation, too. Obviously, when you call a pass game, if you want to get all five receivers out, there's certain kinds of protections you can call, five-man protections, and then you have to pass protect. And very often the defense, by how they line up their fronts, guys, can make you block one-on-one. So, you know, that might factor in what they're doing as well with the pass game in really not pushing the ball down the field, because to do that, you need protection.
Given what you said there about the Titans passing game, if this is a game where Jalen Ramsey does not play for disciplinary reasons,
right,
for getting him ready for a trade reasons, might the Jaguars be better able to survive it than they could against some other teams?
Well, Boye did not play Sunday. Do you know what his status is?
I can look it up while you're starting to answer the other
side of
that.
They started Trey Herndon opposite Ramsey at corner this past week. And if Ramsey does not play, if Boye is there, then he'll start, and then I assume it'll still be Herndon. If Boye
has been limited the first 2 weeks, first 2 days of this.
All right, so if he doesn't play, I don't know who the next guy is, okay? Right now they're playing Hayden in the slot. I don't know if they feel like they have another slot corner, and Hayden would move outside, which he's done in his career, but you know, again, I don't know the answer to that. I don't have their depth chart right in front of me. So, you know, see, that would be an example where if Boye cannot go and Ramsey does not go, PK, you have to be able to throw the ball in this game. Now, that doesn't mean he's got to throw for 350 or 400, but you have to be able to make some plays on the perimeter in the pass game if they're going to play with two backup corners. That's just the nature of the NFL. You have to be able to do that.
Greg, there's some confusion from Titans fans about the lack of usage with Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter. He seemingly was getting a rhythm going at the end of the third quarter. They come back with Deion Lewis to start the fourth quarter. But in this game against Jacksonville, this has been a Derrick Henry game, especially last year. What is it about Jacksonville's defense that lends itself to this being a running Derrick Henry-type game, at least a year ago? And do you see that being a possibility this
week?
Yeah,
I don't know if we have. Look, I actually thought the Texans ran the ball well against the Jaguars this week. Now, they didn't have Ngakoue, so we'll see. But and I think he's ready to go for this week from what I read.
Full participant yesterday.
Yeah, so they're having, you know, they played some different people this particular week to make up for that. We'll see. You know, I think the track record isn't large enough. You know, look, when a guy has long runs, he had the 99-yard run, obviously, you know, that doesn't seem to happen on a regular basis. I feel pretty confident saying that. Now watch, he'll have a 95-yard touchdown run. But I don't know if the track record's large enough to say that, hey, every time he plays Jacksonville, he's going to run for big yards. Now, having said that, there's a couple of ways to look at this game. If the corners are truly backups, yes, you have to attack them. But they could also go into this game thinking that, you know what, we have to stabilize our offense. We're on the road, right? This is a road game, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, they're on the road. Let's stabilize our offense. We've got a good defense. They're playing Gardner Minshew at quarterback, who was very frenetic and out of control this week against a good Texans defense. And the Titans have a very good defense. So let's stabilize our offense. It's not going to be a 40-10 game, barring turnovers. Let's give the ball to Derrick Henry. You know, I would think, and again, I don't know how they're going to map it out, but I would think this is the kind of game that sets up as Derrick Henry having 25 carries. And staying with the run game, being patient with the run game, like the Colts are patient with the run game. There's nothing wrong in today's NFL with being patient with the run game.
Greg Cosell from NFL Films, our guest here on the Midday 180.
How much more sackable should Minshew be than Jacoby Brissett, who looked like Ben Roethlisberger?
Right, well, Brissett's a bigger man and a more athletic man than Minshew. Minshew's under 6'1". He's a pure rhythm player. They totally got him out of his rhythm last week in Houston. He started to get a little frenetic. He made a couple of throws late. You know, you got to have to give him credit. Has deceptive movement ability, but I think that this is an offense that they're not running the ball particularly well. I think Leonard Fournette is not what he was a couple of years ago. I almost feel like he's tiptoeing to some degree. To me, he has the look of a back who's hesitant and indecisive, searching for a place to run and then tiptoeing to the point of attack. He's certainly not running through tackles the way he did as a rookie. So, you know, I think this is a game where they're going to try to run it, and you've got to get them in long yardage, and then you have to work your pass rush against a quarterback that is probably not prepared for big-time NFL pass rushes.
Game of the week certainly appears to be Baltimore at Kansas City. How much has Lamar Jackson changed what he was doing last year to put himself in position for this great start And are you buying that he has transformed, or do you think some of what he's doing will get figured out by the league 6 or 8 weeks in?
Well, I think some of that will get figured out. They're very difficult to defend in terms of a lot of the things they do with the backfield actions, somewhat reminiscent of what the Panthers did in their Super Bowl season, I believe, of 2015, if memory serves me correctly. And I think the league will figure some of that out. He's a dynamic mover, but what stood out to me in this game is that I didn't think he looked to run. I thought he looked to throw the ball. And I think he threw it well. Now, we can always debate the kinds of throws. There's open receivers, which result from a lot of the things that they do. They feature multiple run game dimensions and how they get to these runs. They're base runs, but how they get to them. And they have a pass game that works off the run game, and a lot of defenses will play more safe zone coverage concepts because they're concerned about him running. They don't want to play man unless they want to spy on him. And he'll run by spy, so I'm not sure teams will spy. So, you know, they get a lot of base looks, safe looks, and you get throws that are defined, and he's making those throws. I mean, clearly that 3rd-and-11 throw with just over 3 minutes remaining, now that was a big-time NFL throw.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Call 833-THG-NASH or visit Huffaker online at THGTN.com. Greg, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.